Well, now you mentioned that you'd also written music for video games. The one that comes to mind is Flow. What is the major difference in writing music for video games as opposed to writing music for movies?
Well, for me, the main difference is the interactivity. I mean, if I want to write big orchestral, sweeping, majestic music, I'm going to tend to want to do it in a film versus in a video game, because I feel that in a video game, the real art of it lies in the ability to write music which is not the same every time you play the game, mm-hmm. even if only subtly. So, for example, I consider my three main areas in which I write to be concert music, film music, and video game music. And if you compare those three, the music itself could theoretically be the same in all three, but it's sort of like the function of each medium is what's different. You know, in concert music, the music is all that there is. That is the thing which people are wanting to engage in and listen to. So there's the burden of the music is to really carry all the amount of substance that say watching a film would. So you know, it gives you license to explore the music in perhaps very strange and unexpected ways or whatnot, so that you know, your ideas can actually sustain themselves for that period of time. The mark of a great film score is its impact in the film, and then likewise, the mark of a great video game score is the way in which it molds to the game. But the medium is so different than film. It's not a linear medium, and we're only just now, I think, on the tip of the iceberg as far as exploring what can be really done with that. I mean, most game scores are, for all intents and purposes, still rather linear, and it's a strange thing, and I've given a few talks, and a whole bunch of other people have given talks as well, about this idea that there's this kind of identity crisis in video games right now, where the mark of a great video game score, like the biggest compliment you hear people giving, is, this sounds like film music. And I step back and I say, now, is that what we want? Is that really like the crowning achievement, is to be now in the shadow of films? And maybe that's a sign that the video game industry is basically going to just become a subset of Hollywood, which I honestly hope does not happen, because there's such different things that I would love for the video game industry to continue to be really its own separate world with its own kind of aesthetics. But it's still very infantile. I mean, the rate of change is faster these days, but even despite that, just in terms of raw years, film's been around for essentially a century longer than games have. So I think it's hard to really judge where it's going. But anyway, that was a very, very long-winded answer to the interactivity is to me the fundamental difference, and the draw to games is to write music which turns one's definition of music completely upside down. You know, we always think of like reading left to right. So imagine now reading a book where they say, okay, just pick the words in any order and have at it. It's totally different.
Well, actually, one of your more recent projects is the movie Grace. So how did you become involved in that movie?
Grace was a pet project, if there ever has been one, at least for me. That director, Paul Sollett, was my neighbor. He still is my neighbor. He's the first guy I met when I moved to L.A. So it was just one of those lucky things that it, you know, all worked out this way. You know, this was, no one introduced us. We just, in fact, he introduced himself when the night I moved in, I started hammering together a bookcase so loudly that it was keeping him awake. We've been great friends ever since. And so over the last several years, he's been writing this script, and he would send me every draft. And so other than maybe a few screenwriter buddies of his, I knew this script prior to them shooting the movie better than just about anybody. And so we had a long time, I mean, well over a year, to discuss the music in great detail. And I even wrote music a year before they shot that he used as part of his sort of mood reel that he would present as a pitch to producers and whatnot to pitch them to make this film. And then ended up, several months later, when they had that deal in place, writing another 20 minutes of score based on specific scenes in the script to play back on set for the actors to kind of put their mind in the right place, and then wrote a whole other 50-minute score based on the film once it was actually shot. And all three stages of those, the music had essentially nothing in common with the others. So it was awesome for me because it was basically a chance to have to work on it as long as I would work on like a symphony or something, and really let the ideas sort of percolate in the back of my mind for sometimes even months at a time, which is so rare. I mean, it was crazy to me that it kind of, for all of the first half of 2008 and the second half of 2007, no matter what I was doing, Grace was kind of always in the back of my mind. And then finally in the summer, I sat down and intensively worked on it for essentially 2.5 months or so. Yeah, it was a really special and just so unbelievably exciting that after all that, it then would end up premiering at Sundance. I mean, that was the last thing I expected. It's
right.
Such a dark, kind of creepy horror film that, especially given my experience last year with Cats in a Brat, I just didn't think of Sundance in that kind of way at all. And it was amazing. It was so much fun.
Well, how important is the festival circuit to you?
For me, as far as like getting work and things?
Exactly.
Sometimes it proves to be immensely important, and other times not. I mean, for example, I'm just now starting on a film that I'm working on entirely because Cats in a Brat played at Sundance last year, and the producer of this film that I'm working on now happened to see the film then and thought, oh, I would, I'd love this guy to work on my movie, and they hadn't even shot it at that point. I don't know. I'd say maybe half the films that I get are from that world, and the other half are more word-of-mouth type relationship situations. It's hard to say, The festival world is kind of a small community, and people's lives are always intersecting in so many, so often and so rapidly. It's hard to trace back exactly when and how a connection is made, because rarely is it someone who just reaches out and says, hi, I'd love to meet you. But I'd say overall, especially when a composer's first getting started, it's probably very important.
Well, now, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. But do you use silence as a composing tool?
I'm a big fan of less is more when it comes to films. I remember I once took a workshop in New York, and David Speer, who was one of these guys who's taught several generations of film composers and himself had had worked with Elmer Bernstein extensively and had written many scores of his own. He once made a comment that nothing is more intense than a pianissimo. That always stuck with me, and I thought, he's absolutely right. I guess the logical conclusion is the only thing more intense than that is total silence. And if you're talking about a film like Grace, this is especially true because in a horror film, Grace is not one of these kind of slasher, gut punch type movies where there's something lurking in the shadows and there's lots of big scares and stuff. It's more of a psychological film that just crawls under your skin and makes you go a little bit crazy. So it's not a great example, but if you're doing one of these horror type films with that kind of gut punch quality, music is always what sort of clues the audience in on imminent danger and things like that. So the film is actually far scarier the less you score it. And that's probably true, the scarier if you swap out a different emotion there, that's probably true across the board. I mean, just like off the top of my head, you look at a movie like Patton, that's like a 3-hour movie with something like 40 or 50 minutes of music in the entire film. And there's a point in that movie where something like an hour goes by where you never hear a note of score. And yet it's one of the most memorable scores probably ever written. I'm not sure if those are directly related, but I certainly think the powerfulness of the film and of watching the kind of tragedy of the, this George C. Scott character of General Patton, I think a big part of that comes from the score, from the kind of lack of music holding the hand of the audience and specifically guiding them emotionally. So yeah, totally. I think silence is immensely powerful. Some directors are scared to use it because they think people might not understand the film, or that maybe the actors weren't quite up to a snuff of what they were hoping for, or maybe that shot doesn't look right, and there's a million reasons why they want to put music in, and I frequently try to advocate against it if possible.
So now, how would a score that you write today differ from one you wrote at the beginning of your career?
That's a great question. I would like to think that my ability to sort of psychoanalyze a movie has gotten all the more nuanced. I mean, I think if you look at all the best composers, they frequently had very interesting lives. And I feel that the more one kind of goes out and experiences the world, the more it informs your sensibilities and your sort of, you know, artistic inclinations and things like that. If you just live, you know, that was always a dilemma for me because, you know, I grew up in Denver, Colorado, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's not like the cultural capital of the world. So, you know, that severely kind of limited me because I was so obsessed with film music that I kind of ignored my childhood in a sense until I finally went off to college in Manhattan and started traveling more and, you know, traveled to Europe and the Middle East and things like that. And so I was finally sort of catching up with a normal life of actually experiencing life. And so I think that's probably the fundamental difference. I think if I listen to music I wrote back then and I listen to it now, there's an immaturity that I sense, which is not necessarily compositional, but what's kind of behind that, one or two steps earlier than the actual compositional, but just kind of the sense of general life maturity. So I think that's probably, like, I could never have written a score like Grace probably even a year earlier. If my trend continues, then a year from now I'll look back at Grace and think, oh my God, I could score that so much better. I could have so much more nuance. And every score I look back on, I think, man, I really wrote that thing as a blunt instrument. And now I'm more precise, you know. Like in the presidential campaign when they kept talking about taking a hatchet versus a scalpel to the budget, you know, it's like everything in hindsight for me seems to evolve from into that hatchet where when I wrote it, I thought, oh, this is a beautiful scalpel, and now it's evolved into this just dull axe through my lens of experience. So I think, yeah, I think that's got to be the fundamental difference, is just kind of understanding films, the language of film better, just always trying to learn more and about how directors think, and all of that kind of ties into this same idea.
Well, what does the future hold for you?
Well, it was, if only we knew. I was very fortunate to be listed as a contender in the 2009 Academy Awards by the LA Times, and found out this morning that I am in fact not a nominee this year, though that was not at all my expectation. So. Mm-hmm. I was actually very pleased with the list, I have to say. But what holds for me, I have five or six films so far lined up for 2009, and always, you know, always looking for new projects and interesting things, and kind of I've been sort of drafting a ballet that I want to write, not for any particular company, but just kind of had some ideas that seemed like fun, and, you know, little things like that, just sort of always moving forward, I guess. But in terms of actual jobs, I do have four movies that are all starting in the relative immediate future, and then two or three that'll be lurking on the horizon somewhere after they're all done. Mm-hmm. So all good things.
Well, I really appreciate the time you've given me today.
Take care.
Yeah, you too.